Hey, all you listeners, before we jump into the podcast, I'd like to take care of a couple legal issues and a little forbearance of what you're about to listen to. Some podcasts are somewhat explicit and touch on some harsh topics when it comes to the mental health field. Listener discretion is advised. Also, for the legal purposes and the protection of our show and guests, we'd like to also remind you that all these stories that are shared by everyone on air are alleged events that have occurred. Please keep that in mind. And again, we enjoy having you here. So welcome and enjoy the show.
You know, living with you, it hasn't been easy. People see me, but they think of you. Now with all this going on, this is going to be worse than ever.
It don't have to be.
No, sure it does.
Why? You got a lot going on, kid.
Well, my last name? That's the reason I got a decent job. That's the reason why people deal with me in the first place. Now I start to get a little ahead. I start to get a little something for myself. And this happens. Now I'm asking you as a favor not to go through with this, okay? This is only going to end up bad for you, and it's going to end up bad for me.
You think I'm hurting you?
Yeah, in a way you are.
It's the last thing I ever wanted to do.
I know that's not what you want to do, but that's just the way that it is. Don't you care what people think? Doesn't it bother you that people are making you out to be a joke and that I'm going to be included in that? Do you think that's right? Do you?
You ain't going to believe this. But you used to fit right here. I'd hold you up and say to your mother, this kid's going to be the best kid in the world. This kid's going to be somebody better than anybody ever knew. And you grew up good and wonderful. It was great just watching you. Every day was like a privilege. Then the time come for you to be your own man and take on the world, and you did. But somewhere along the line, you changed. You stopped being you. You let people stick a finger in your face and tell you you're no good. And when things got hard, you started looking for something to blame. Like a big shadow. Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you gotta be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you wanna be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that. I'm always gonna love you no matter what. No matter what happens. You're my son, you're my blood. You're the best thing in my life. But until you start believing in yourself, you ain't gonna have a life.
Tonight's guest, Nestor Frausto. Also, we continue down the journey with tips and tricks with a psychotherapist. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Tony the Beat. I'm honored to welcome everybody back to the show again. It's been a crazy ride. I'd like to say how appreciative I've been of the support of the live podcast, which is what you're watching right now at home. And if you find yourself listening to the audio podcast, welcome as well. The podcast is available on YouTube, iTunes, Google Play Store, Stitcher, Spotify, and all your major podcast carriers. I hope you've been enjoying the show thus far. The episodes that I've put out, it's been immensely exciting to get connected with my friends again, see what everybody's up to. And if you have enjoyed the show thus far, please, down here or over here, no idea where the button's at, it's the thumb. Hit the thumbs up. Not the thumbs up is what you want to hit. Then you want to go over to either here or over here. Don't know where the button's at. And then hit that subscribe button. That'll get you in. To what? I don't know, bro. Also, there's another button down here, right? It's the share button. Hit the share button so that we can have more people come to the show tonight. Tonight's guest, as you've seen in the opening credits, we have the man, the myth, the triathlon legend. Cue the smashing glass. Coming to the ring, hailing from Santa Maria, California, Nestor Frausto. We just got off of WrestleMania weekend. Did not watch it. I haven't watched WWF in years. It's trash now. It's my opinion. Also, some other ways that you could support the show. You could possibly tweet it, MySpace it, Facebook it, tell your girlfriend about it, have your mom listen to it, or you could possibly just write a nice review. I hope you enjoyed the inaugural segment that I launched last episode, which was called Tips and Tricks with a Psychotherapist. I'm finding it very helpful that I can use this platform that I have to psychoeducate a lot of people, a lot of my listeners, and a lot of the misinformation that we hear or have learned through Hollywood about mental health. In the live chat or the comment section, what I'd like for you to do is, if you've had any questions or anything, any topics you want me to cover, comment down below and I will work those into future segments of the show so that we can get a better understanding about mental health. Talking with Nestor and catching up with him has been great. We were able to see each other in a different light, I think. We're no longer those handsome young bucks. Boy, do I have stories for you with this guy. We've done a lot. Anytime I needed help, Nestor was there, mainly with the film stuff. Here's a story I'd like to share. I set out to film this one project that I had in mind, and I had acquired this very expensive film camera, a very, very high-end film camera. And I had everything set up. And I think this project was the Rent-A-Cops project, because I had the lighting, I had the scrims, I had everything. I had a Steadicam when those were prevalent. I don't even know if they are anymore. I had a dolly at one point. I was in the process of purchasing a retired police car. It was a great time in my life, and Nestor was there for the ride. I auditioned people. I hired people. I was writing the script. I was rewriting the script as we were filming. I guess that's me being naive, but at a young age, I highly suggest, in your 20s is when you need to take every single chance possible. There's no turning back at this point. Balls to the wall is how I see it. In your 20s is when you are free. You have no obligations, because later in life, speaking from a psychological standpoint, if you jump into adulthood too quickly and you miss out on a lot of these experiences, you grow to be an individual who has resentment and also who has a lot of regret. This in turn allows the person to become bitter or salty and not happy with themselves. So I highly suggest, in your 20s, have fun. You can pick up and you can go to San Francisco. Who goes to San Francisco? I normally went to Los Angeles. That was where I was at.
First person I hired, Nestor Frausto. I didn't even audition him. I knew he was right for the part because I wrote that part for him. I wrote it for him. I also secretly wrote the main role for myself, but I hired somebody else to play it because I wanted to direct it. I wanted to have a certain scope of what I was doing. So I have my lead role. I have Nestor as the supporting. I have the supporting cast. I have the dates for production, locations, times, call sheets. I had all of it. I was a small production, but I ran that like we were in Hollywood. So I'd been bugging Nestor the whole previous day before production started. I'd been bugging him like, hey, buddy, you ready to go? You sure you're going to get enough sleep? Can I buy you some dinner that's going to be appropriately healthy for you? I had just such a love for this project. It was a passion project that I wanted to make sure Nestor wasn't going to flake. Because I've gotten him into situations a lot of the times where he should have flaked. So I think that plays a role into his psyche. He flakes on me all the time. Not anymore, but back then. Here's why he should have flaked this time. So it was after 9 o'clock. That was when, back in the day, if you had cell phones, you could call free without having to acquire the minutes because you were only able to buy a certain amount of minutes for that month. After 9, they didn't count. So you could call whoever, whenever, however, not whenever, but 9 to I think like 6 a.m. That was the cue for me to start harassing them. And so I called him, asked him a question, called him in again, another question, again. He finally got annoyed and was just like, dude, I'm going to be there tomorrow, but if you call me again, I'm not showing up. So I took the hint. I was like, okay, I'm being a little pushy. I'll back off. And I'm in the garage. And at this point in time, I'm in the garage. Some time has passed, about 5-10 minutes, right? And I'm getting all my gear set up, and I have the camera out on the table. I'm cleaning it to make sure everything, you know, is just clean and neat, and the lens doesn't have any smudges. As I'm calling Nestor for the last time, I'm sitting on the table and I'm polishing the camera, right? And like, my anxiety is through the roof. I don't know if I can pull this project off. So I'm sitting on the table and I finally just hop off. And when I hopped off, I knocked the camera off with me and it went kerplunk of my, let's just say, certain anatomy of mine. So at this point, the camera lens is bent. It's come off the camera. And I don't know what to do because I don't know how to fix the camera. I'm not good at putting things together. So I figure I got to call somebody. I'm going to call Nestor. I type the number and it rings and I hear this voice. He's not happy. He's like, what? Or however he sounds. And I cowardly say, buddy, I don't think we can film tomorrow. And Nestor replies, are you kidding me? You're kidding me, right? You're going to back out of this now. And I recited to him what had happened to the camera. Then I asked if he had any uncles that could repair this equipment. He said, why would he have uncles that would repair this equipment? That, to me, to this day, I do not understand why I think Nestor would have uncles that worked on very high-end, expensive film cameras. I don't know. So I tell him, I'll call you later if I can fix this. Just know I went out trying. I wasn't gonna kill myself. I don't know what I meant. I was very dramatic at the time. 7 hours later, I put that camera back together, and now I know how to repair a lens on a film camera. Let's just say that the film project went downhill pretty quickly. I fired the starring actor because he was not performing, unfortunately, to what I thought he should be performing. And my standards of performance, I said to myself at the time, would be only feasibly achievable if I did them. So I had to step into that role in order to achieve the performance I needed. And there we are, Nestor and Tony, dressed up as paramedics. There stands in front of you two very handsome men dressed the part to play security guards, but really were dressed as paramedics. That's just one of the many stories that I could share between me and Nestor. We have gone from dressed as paramedics to chasing each other in our cars throughout the mountains and hills around the Sisquak area where Quentin Tarantino filmed Grindhouse, or not Grindhouse, where Quentin Tarantino filmed Death Proof. It's been super awesome to get back in touch with Nestor because there's certain aspects between us that I see have changed. Nestor is not the same person I used to know. He is now a man, and vice versa. I was actually in the middle of the interview with him, realizing how much I had changed and how much I've grown from being this scared little kid to being this scared adult. But still stepping into that role and being comfortable to actually do something like this, a live podcast. I would not in my greatest mind think, you know, back in the day that I would be doing something like this. But see, here I am. I've grown and evolved because now I feel comfortable with my mental health and my emotional state to actually step outside of myself and help others in the manner in which I'm suffering. That's why I actually incorporated the tips and tricks with a therapist. I think it's going to be very helpful and insightful for you guys to get a better understanding of mental diseases, mental disorders, like schizophrenia, like ADHD, like PTSD. Like, what are these letters that Tony is saying? What do they stand for? Google them. I'd like to cover all this. That's where I'm going to work in the segments, tips and tricks with a therapist. So again, let me remind you, in the live chat or in the comment section, if you're not watching this or listening to this live, what would you like me to cover in the tips and tricks section of tips and tricks with a therapist? It was just nice catching up with him. And so without further ado, I want to throw it over to Nestor and I. And we're back. I just wanted to welcome our next guest. He is a good friend of the show, good friend of mine. I want to welcome Nestor Frausto. Did I say your name right?
You did.
I've been practicing. I've been practicing. I'm not kidding.
Second time's a charm. Second time's a charm on this podcast, and you nailed it.
Yep.
Looks like so, I don't have to come back a third time.
No, we love having you. Competition wise, I think you're in the top 5 episodes. How's it going? It's been a long time since I've had any human interaction with any of my friends. So what you been up to?
It's been going good. Trying to survive this pandemic. I think it's the longest 2 weeks of my life. You know, it was only supposed to last 2 weeks, and here we are over a year later. Had a baby during a pandemic. Well, I didn't have a baby. My wife had a baby, but we're raising a third girl in the family through this pandemic. And it's been an interesting year, but here we are, and it looks like there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, the last time, like I was telling you earlier, off the air, as I was driving back from my office to the house, last time you were on the show, you were not even engaged, I don't think. Or were you? And no baby.
I don't think so.
And then, did you get married during pandemic?
No, I got married in 2019.
Oh, yeah. That was the year I graduated, I think.
That's right.
I'm glad I didn't go to it. No, actually, I am glad I didn't go to it, because then I couldn't have taken my dog, so I didn't care. It was raining, whatever. But I think you know what I'm referring to.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to your graduation. Who knew you weren't going to your graduation?
Yeah, okay. That's cool. I'm kidding. You have a child. How is that? Because that's one of my goals in life, is to have a kid so that I can give it the stuff I didn't have, I guess.
Yeah, so I have two daughters that I've helped raise, that I'm raising. And then the baby was born last year, so it was the first time I got to experience a childbirth and all that stuff, and have to change diapers now. I met our middle child now when she was about 6 months old. It was a whole lot different back then, because, you know, the baby would start crying, just give her back to mom, didn't have to feed her, change any diapers. It was a whole lot easier, but now, you know, you kind of have to wipe butts and all that other good stuff, and you get thrown up on. It's fun. But back to your question about how that's different, and it's crazy when you experience childbirth. I was just trying not to pass out, really. And then just trying to be a better version of yourself for your kids is what I strive to do. And to kind of the last episode, I listened to your last episode talking about closing that kind of generational gap that we have. Mm-hmm. That's really something that I try to do for all my kids, for all three of my girls, is both my parents came here from Mexico to provide a better life for their kids. They really strived education, choosing a career over a job. And then that's something that me and my wife are trying to instill in our girls, to pursue their dreams, to go further, to learn more, whether that be through a school or just working hard, but teaching them to put in the hard work, because nothing comes easy in this life, and you got to work it your butt off to get whatever you want.
And if the people that are listening or watching online, if you haven't listened to the last episode, by the time I post this, what I talked about was the theme is Family Matters, the Chronicles, and I'm kind of reiterating where I see the problems that are surfacing systemically in our society, and where I see the solutions are, which is generational cycling. And Nestor and I are proof that you can do what you need to do in order to, one, be happy, thrive, survive, and create a family of love that is going to perpetuate a healthy lifestyle that is going to contribute to society, because that's not what I'm seeing anymore. And it's about wanting to take responsibility, because you want more for your kids. You don't want them to hurt the way you hurt. And by repeating the cycles, that's exactly what you're doing. You're inviting the same trauma into their lives. But like Nestor said, his parents, and I knew his parents, they were the sweetest people. And like we said on last podcast, his dad still thought I was dabbling in the porno industry. But yeah, I miss that guy. And look at where they came from. They are the representation of what I call the American dream, which is still possible today. It just takes a lot of fucking work to get there. It's not, I want the American dream, and then you get it. It's not going to come knocking on your door. You have to go pound some doors in. So adding on to that, it's a great topic. How would you feel that you guys are succeeding, you and Stephanie are succeeding with breaking that cycle?
Yeah, I think it comes a lot to just willing to put in the work. And I think sometimes we get misinterpret it, misconstrue it, that we see a lot of things like with like the phone, social media and stuff, and or movies and things like that, where we see like the end product, but we don't see the work that's happening. And it's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of being there day in and day out, being consistent, and putting the work and be willing to put it in the work. Kind of how you were talking about how when you went back to school and you were willing to put in the work, and you got to be willing to pay the price, and you got to be willing to put in that work, because nothing's going to be handed to you. And how you were talking about knocking down doors, if you want anything, you really have to be willing to put in the work. And that's one thing that we try to instill into our kids, is that you got to be willing to work in order to whatever you want to achieve. Anything's possible as long as you're willing to pay the price, whether that be the hard work with the sweat, some tears of frustration, whatever it is. But you got to get yourself off the ground, dust yourself off, and keep on pursuing that goal that you're working towards.
Here's a great way to emphasize and illustrate this better. Here's a question for you, because I know you do marathons. Did you just sign up for a marathon and just run it? Like, you just decided out of one day, hey, I think I'll run a marathon, and then showed up? Or how did that work?
Yeah, if you try to do that, you'll be dead in a couple miles, because you've, and then the old quote of it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, right? Running is kind of one of those things, endurance sports. I've done triathlons, completed a marathon, completed an Ironman triathlon, which is a 140.6 mile race, and that is kind of, doing those sports is kind of what taught me that you have to trust the process, that you can't just show up on race day and be successful. You got to be willing to put in those training days, day in and day out, to do the little work, the little drills, and they'll pay off in the long run. And if you work hard leading up, it'll pay off on race day. And I think that's something that we could all take. And it's one of those things too, where, if you just tell yourself, I got to go run 26 miles, that's a long distance, right? But if you really break it down and run 1 mile at a time, it breaks down what you're trying to accomplish, and you start to realize that you can't focus on the mile you just ran, and you can't focus on the next mile. You have to be focused on the mile that you're in, and that's one thing that I've taken from that towards life. Is just that perspective of what happened in the past. I can't change it, whether that be a good mile, a bad mile, good memory, bad memory, whatever that is. I can just focus on what's going on right now, and just chip away at our problems, at whatever we're trying to do, is how I try to look at it.
Speaking of the endurance, we're kind of, I'm noticing the theme, us as kind of a world, because we're in this pandemic, we are in this endurance test of trying to survive, not just physically but mentally. How would you say you've been coping, if at all, mentally with dealing with the pandemic? Because you have, let's think about it, you have a lot to protect. I mean, you got a new baby, and was she born during the pandemic too?
Yeah, a month in, after everything closed down, she was born. That was crazy, going to the hospital. Once we showed up, we couldn't leave, and we were in and out of the hospital within about 48 hours.
Was there anybody, like, so it was just you and her, right?
Yeah, it was just me and her, so she was only allowed one person in. And that kind of took her a while to get used to too, because leading up, she wanted her mom in there before the pandemic hit, and then it was only one, and then, like, if I were to leave, I wouldn't be able to come back in, so kind of had to go in with everything. But those 2 weeks before, I would sneeze and I was like, uh-oh, I don't know what's going on. What if I have right? COVID? Like the nurse starts anyway. So it was like any little thing, but yeah, it was a crazy experience.
Would you say that the pandemic has changed you in any way, shape, or form? That's another theme that I keep hearing from other people, not just in my profession and colleagues, but what I hear about clients and what they tell me is that the pandemic has really brought out who they really are, like in survival mode. And to a degree, a lot of people are realizing that there's a lot of negativity in them. And how are you in trying to maintain some sort of normalcy within your family?
Yeah, I think it's, for me, I'm a hermit crab. I could stay at home forever and not miss a beat. But as far as my, like having kids and having to explain to them that we can't go here, we can't go there because of this whole thing, and trying not to scare them at times, or not scare them, but you're trying to tell them what's going on and why we're doing things, why we can't go to friends' houses, can't go out on the weekend to like a mall or something. At the beginning of all of that was really hard to adjust. And then them just having to be home, having to be with your sibling each and every day, actually not being at school, not being around your friends, are things that took adjusting to get to. And it's really been me looking as a parent, looking at them and seeing them go through it. They're handling a whole lot better than I would have if I would have had to go through this at their age, and all that they're still going through with all the virtual learning and stuff, and just that interaction with your friends. And God bless the hearts of the teachers that are on the other side of that screen, because they're teaching their butts off, but they're out of their element too, and having to learn all this on the fly. So that aspect of trying to find that balance of keeping them safe as far as contracting COVID-19 and that stuff, but still trying to give them some social interaction is what's been the tough part.
Optimal Interventions. We provide counseling and psychotherapy. During this COVID-19 crisis, we are providing counseling and psychotherapy through telehealth. For those of you who are not familiar with telehealth, this is where we do therapy through video conferencing. It can be just as effective as face-to-face. If you want to set up an appointment for counseling, please call 805-202-9335. That's 805-202-9335. This is actually the director's phone line, but he will assure that your message will be transferred over to the administrative assistant, who will find an appropriate therapist for you. Take care, stay safe, and hope to actually see you in the office someday soon.
Picking back off of that, bringing in to position the children, a lot of studies that are going on currently with mental health for kids, I would like to get your take. Are your kids experiencing any sort of different change in like behaviors, moods that you're noticing due to the fact, and I get this a question a lot, and this is the reason I'm asking you, is because people ask me, Tony, my kid was like super social, and then or my kid was not social at all. They were completely like calm, and now they're acting out and being loud and throwing stuff. And it's the fact that they're being pulled out of their element, like you said. There's no social interaction, and it's pushing them to polar extremes of acting out because they're not able to get the interactions they need. Are you seeing like any of this, or having to try to avoid it? Well, is that something that you're looking at?
I think now, like that we're, schools are probably, or here, schools will be opening up in the next couple of weeks. And it seems like our state's coming out of that. So probably in the fall, we'll be back to full in-person instead of distance learning. For me, it's just, I think I see which would happen with anybody, right? Like, if you have a brother or sister that you had, imagine being with them in the same household for that long, for over a year now. It's weird because at times it's like they can't stand each other, but at other times it's like they've grown closer together. And it's one thing that us as a family, I think we've gone closer because we're going through this together, and it's something that down the road that it'll be something we look back on and that we were able to get through together. And thank God none of us have got COVID. People in our family close to us have, and that was scary, just hearing about them and the things that they went through, but just blessing that aspect of it. But yeah, they like that break of not having to be with your siblings 24/7, having your friends at school to interact with, are the thing that I do see that they're missing. So I'm excited about schools opening up and them getting that chance again.
Welcome to Tips and Tricks with a Psychotherapist. Since last Saturday's episode has aired, the number one question that I've gotten from many people that have messaged me since Saturday, how do I find a good therapist? Or what is to be expected in therapy? All these questions are very good, and I think this is the segment to address that. There are a few things that when searching for a therapist that you want to be certain about. Do you guys have a good rapport? Do you guys click? Are you comfortable with him? Because that's the number one thing with a therapist. You are divulging very personal information that you don't share with anybody else. And this person, you have to have that certain confidence in. And if it's not there, it's quite all right to just sit and say to the therapist, this relationship is not working. Is it possible for you to refer me out to another therapist? The number one misconception out of therapy is that therapy fixes everything. That is not how therapy works. You see, you're only being seen 1 hour a week. The rest of the week, the ball is in your court. That is when you take what you have learned within that hour with the coping skills, the psychoeducation, and whatever techniques that you have acquired throughout that hour, you put to work in your week. That is why us therapists always say, we didn't do much. It was always you that did the changing. We just provided the tools in which you needed. And again, I get other questions when it comes to confidentiality and how does confidentiality work? That is quite simple. I can refer you to the BBS, which is the Board of Behavioral Sciences website. Here are some, but not all, parameters of therapy and confidentiality. Most everything stays confidential, with the caveat of the mandated reporting, in which, at least in my state of California, I am under, which is a law I have to abide, which means if you come into therapy and you report, as in you say to your therapist, I am going to harm myself, that is when you and your therapist at this point have a discussion that is custom fit to the situation in which you are in, because every situation is different. But if you do intend to harm yourself, that is where us therapists have to make sure your safety is our priority. Again, you're going to want to ask your therapist to make sure that everything is clear at your intake. Thanks for joining me for Tips and Tricks with a Psychotherapist.
I work in the after-school program sector and see the problems that you're talking about kids that are acting out, and they have a lot that's going up against them. We're kind of lucky to where my wife's been working from home since pandemic started, but there's other kids that are at home by themselves, right, with just a TV screen, with a sibling, that don't have that luxury that that we've been blessed with in my household. So I can't imagine the struggles that they'll be or are going through and will be going through and trying to break those habits that you're talking about.
Here's something that I've always appreciated about your guys' family and your guys' theme, because every family has it. It's usually chaos and maladaptive behaviors. And I still always go back to, it's just freaking crazy to explain the Frausto family. This is what I mean when I mean you have to build a solid foundation for your kids to thrive. Otherwise, you're setting them up to be screwed by life. I see Nestor, I see Fabby, I see their older brother. Their dad just passed away, and I always thought in my mind I'd be distraught or whatever. And I'm in the little bug that we got rid of, thank God. I'm driving down the road and I see the, because I'm taking them some stuff, and there they are. That's what you call prospering. That's what you call the family unit. When you say, when I say family unit, this is what I mean. It doesn't have to be mom, dad, or, you know, what I'm talking about is you have this built-in support system because you guys are related. You guys are siblings, and you guys have the same set of skills that were instilled in you. You have the same set of expectations from one another. That's why you guys get along so well sometimes. I mean, because, but literally to me, that is how I see, and that's what I strive for as a family unit, is to be able to instill that strength to keep going on, because life is hard. Like Rocky says, and knock you down and you have to get up. So.
And I think it just kind of, comes down to remembering at the end of the day, you may get in a fight, but you're there to help each other. And just, that's something that our parents instilled in us, and that, and just loving each other. And I remember my mom would always tell us, like, we would come to her with her problems and it would, or with our problems, and we'd be like crying, and she would always tell us, like, so what are you going to do about your problem? Like, it wasn't, And it comes back to that whole thing where when adversity hits, like, you can't really, adversity is going to hit you and there's nothing you could do about that. The only thing you control, you truly control, is how you handle those problems and how you get yourself out of those problems, how you handle that. And that's something that I try to instill in my girls, is problems are going to happen. Adversity is going to hit, but you got to find a way and figure out how you're going to come out of that. And it's something that our parents instilled in us. And just like that love of loving one another. Like my dad and you, my dad was with my older brother. He got to meet and spend time with his kids and with my brother's oldest daughter, Emma, who also not biologically his, but he loved her unconditionally. Like we were biological. When I told my dad that I wanted to marry my wife, he told me to make sure that I love my two girls, my two oldest girls, just like they were my own, because they are mine. And if I want to make it work and be the father that I'm supposed to be, that I do that. Even when people ask me now, like, what's the difference with the baby now and the two oldest one, there really isn't a difference. I love all three of them. I provide for all three of them. I want to be, the best I can be for all three of them. It wasn't that Julia's here now that's changed. That's something that from the day I got married, even before I got married, when I got engaged, that I knew that I wanted to be there for my wife and all our children, right? And that's just something that my father has instilled in me, something that my sister, God bless her heart, she treats all of my girls, all my brother's girls the same. and just loves them. And I think it's one of those things where the greatest thing we can give anybody is our time and our love, and that's what I try to do.
Life can be so challenging. We are faced with so many pressures, obstacles, losses, and pain. Anxiety and depression seem to never cease, but with a little help and support, a spark is ignited. Hope spreads like fire. With a 40-day reading schedule within this book, hope can be restored. Maybe it's you who are struggling with issues in life, or maybe someone you know needs a little encouragement. Available for purchase at your local Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, and other various online retailers.
That's a great way to put it. You're exhibiting exactly to the T what I mean by family. When I mean family, it's not, you know, it's blood, it's this, it's that. I have a half brother, I have half sister, step brother. No, family is exactly how you put it. It's not just that you had a child with your wife. That doesn't make it different than having your two older daughters. It is adding an experience to your life and blessing you on top of that with more people to share it with. That's what family is. That's what a modern family, at least to me, should look like.
Yeah, and I've never referred to my two older daughters as my stepdaughters. I've always called them my daughters. And I think it's to their credit that they love me, right? That they love me. They trust me as an authority figure in their life, as a father in their life, to try to improve them. Doesn't mean it's always buddy buddy. I'm a father, right? Like I'm trying to give them the skills to be successful in life, and not so much prepare the road for them, but give them the tools to have the life skills to get down that road. And that means that they don't get what they want all the time. Sometimes it makes me a mean guy, a mean dad. But it's looking at the bigger picture and trying to provide them with those tools to be successful in life. My mom passed away when I was 18. A lot of the life lessons that she gave me, a lot of the life skills that she put in me, are things that I still use to this day. My dad passed away, which will be, it'll be 4 years. It'll be 4 years in November, and the life skills that he put in me, that he instilled in me, are things that I use to be a father, that I've taken from him. And it's one of those things that I think, going back to your pandemic and what that's taught me and what I've learned from it, it's that reminder that we're not going to be here forever, that next generation will, and providing your kids with those tools, so when you're no longer here, to be successful in life and to be able to deal with the adversity and just be successful in whatever they choose to be.
Here's a cool thing that we brought up on the last podcast, and I was planning on going to the actual your event, your dinner.
There you
and
go.
Then literally penned it, like, seriously, every year they planned it on my birthday, and then the year that they didn't plan it on my birthday, the pandemic hit, and I was like, well, I'm not going. No, that's not how this works. I haven't been out of the house since pandemic. Actually, I have, but it's, what is the name of the organization and what is it for?
Yeah. So we have, it's called Viva Fuerte. Started off as for my mom and her battle with breast cancer. Now it's kind of evolved into, we have like some heart stuff for my dad and his, he had a major heart attack and suffered for congestive heart failure until he ended up having another heart attack that passed away from. So we do that, but it's really really not about breast cancer anymore. It's not about heart disease anymore. It's really just about helping people out. We give a scholarship in my parents' name now every year, but it's to help those that are been through some adversity and help them try to achieve a higher education is what we really strive to do now. And we have it every November, and we didn't have the dinner last year because of the pandemic, but hopefully with all the vaccines and stuff, everything will be open back up in November, and we'll be able to have it again. And it's a really good night to just see people that come back now for that one event a year, and you get to talk to people that you haven't seen in a while. And it has that family atmosphere.
That's what it's about. You're living the American dream. It's you give back once you've made something of yourself. We've come a long way being kids from where we met in high school, and then I left the class. I didn't need credits anyways. I was just like, whatever. It was the graphic design. That was the I love that class, though, by the way. Farnsworth thought my inventions were very odd at most times. And I wasn't allowed to use the laminator anymore. Because I somehow screwed it up, and he had to send it out to get repaired. So, and then we had to refund, I think, like the band club for lost paperwork or something. I'm like, whatever. Don't let me do office work. It's a wonder I'm able to do my office work here now working at home. It's insane. But yeah, that's where we met, I think, high school. And then you came to work at Target with Fabby. And me, and you ended up in Garden, and we've shared some stories there. Here's the question I want to pose to you that came up earlier today, but I'm going to start, I think, after this podcast. Would you be interested in coming on for a Target reunion podcast, and we're all going to be on it?
That'd be cool. Yeah, we'll just share stories about you, you know, the whole time. That'd be great.
No, you don't have to talk about me. Just because it's become like a predominant topic of kind of how I grew and how I seen myself then as opposed to now. It's weird to like be a working professional. It's weird to have like a Psychology Today page. It's weird to have business cards. I don't remember where I was going with that topic.
Yeah, no, you're just saying that this whole your whole education, all this, is just one big bit.
Yeah, but seriously, I feel like I'm an imposter, and we've come a long way. It's crazy.
You're just frustrated that once you start planning a wedding that you want to get married somewhere, and then the venue's like, no, you can't do that. You can't do this. And it's like,
I was just doing a shameless plug. Yeah.
Aren't I the one that's paying for this? Aren't I the one that should be saying what I can and can't have here?
I don't know. We'll figure something out. It's going to be fun, though. I got the DJ. We got Charlotte picked out all the decorations and stuff. It's going to be good times. I can't wait for it to happen.
Do you at least get to pick out what you're wearing that day, or is she going to dress you too?
No, Charlotte's going to dress me. Are you kidding?
Oh, okay.
I'm not good at that. I told her to just pick everything.
I was ready to see the wedding pictures if you wearing shorts. It was going to be.
Here's a fun fact. While I work at home, I dress from the waist up. Well, not like I'm not naked below, but I'm still in my shorts, flip-flops, and I comb my hair. And it's been nice working from home, actually, for a change. For a little bit. It's gotten a little boring, like the commute. There's nothing to see, really. So, but if anybody wants to help out, support your foundation, how do they get a hold of it?
Yeah, we have our Instagram. It's at Team Viva Fuerte, all one word, Viva Fuerte spelled V-I-V-A, Fuerte spelled F-U-E-R-T-E. You can look it up, look us up there. We sell hoodies, shirts throughout the year. And then our big fundraiser is every November, where we have a tri-tip dinner and a open bar for those of you that are over 21, and it's just a good night. We have some karaoke, but we also just have a DJ there to play some music and have people dancing. Just a good night all the way around. So hopefully we'll be able to get that off this November.
Yeah, maybe I can do a live podcast there. That'd be kind of cool. It could be my first live podcast back. No, I'll do that too. Like, you know, me and karaoke, that's my good stuff, right? That's whatever. I have my song list and everything. My outfit changes and choreograph. Dude, I'm down for karaoke. I love karaoke. I can't wait for pandemic to be over now. Like, I got a lot of things to do. And yeah, you know what's gonna happen? It'll come, and then I'll be my recluse self and just not show up.
That's right. You'll build it up and then not show up.
That's how I roll. That's a person dealing with PTSD, I guess. I don't know. I guess that's what it is. I look forward to that event, but I want to thank you for coming on the show. So I just want to end this show on a positive note. What my purpose is with these podcasts and the Family Matters Chronicles that I'm covering, it's a triggering subject, I know, and it's not to be malice or hateful or mean. All it is just asking for yourself to want more and want better, because you deserve it. You just need to raise your price tag. And it goes to show that it can be done.
Yeah, and I think what's really important to think is that nobody's perfect, right? And it really, it's hard. It's easy for you to point at somebody and say, oh, they're doing this wrong, they're doing that wrong. It's hard for you to look at yourself and kind of evaluate yourself. But in order to grow, like you, Tony, you've grown and you're in the position you're in now because you had that reflection moment and figured out what you needed to do to improve yourself, improve your situation. And it's easier said than done, but taking that hard look and wanting to improve yourself is things that we all need to do, but it starts with taking that long, hard look at ourselves and being honest with ourselves. When I started doing triathlons and marathons and stuff, that became my alone time with myself. A lot of time that I would spend thinking to myself. And I realized through those trainings, so those 100-mile bike rides, through those 20-mile runs, that I couldn't really lie to myself at the end of those because I was just so tired that I couldn't make up the same excuses that I used to make for myself. So when I was able to figure that out and be honest with myself on those runs, it's still stuff that I do today. Even through this pandemic, when I ride my bike, on my indoor trainer, it's that alone time with me and my thoughts. And when I start getting tired, that's when I ask myself those questions that I might lie to myself about. But it gives me the answers that I'm really looking forward to, that I'm looking to get out of myself, not the ones that are filled with excuses. And then after that, actually taking that, and looking to become a better person, not perfect, never will be perfect. And there's always things that I want to improve, for myself as a person, as a father, as a husband, as an employee in my professional setting. Those are things that I look to do.
Well, I just wanted to thank you, and I wanted to let you know I appreciate you coming on the podcast and sharing with all of us again, giving us an update on how you've been, and we hope to have you on again. We'll see if we can get this Target reunion going. go from there.
For sure, man. Yeah, anytime somebody else comes on a second time, I just give me a call. Hey, you need to come on a third time if you want to keep that title in place, and then we'll keep it going that way.
For sure. So, everybody, for Nestor Frausto and Tony the Beat, I'm Tony the Beat, and this is Spread Hope Like Fire.
Spread Hope Like Fire is a production of the Spread Hope Like Fire Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit. As always, I like to remind everybody the things that we discuss upon the podcast are not a substitute or a replacement for seeking treatment and getting professional help. If in fact you are struggling with your mental health, we urge you to please reach out to your community and see which professionals are accepting new clients and get that professional help and talking to that professional that you need. This show is intended as a educational and informational psychoeducation of the field of psychology. For Spread Hope Like Fire and Anthony G, I'm Anthony G, and we will see you later.